Welcome to The Pursuit of Purpose, a podcast made possible by SkyLife Success, a SkyPass Group company. Join Krish Dunham, an author and speaker whose messaging has been described as the junction where God's ability and man's availability meet hope's accessibility.
Greetings, everybody. This is your host, Krish Dunham, coming to you after a lengthy hiatus. I think in between, we were able to play a previous episode last week. I have been on the road since about the early part of September. That saw me go to the land of my birth, India, and actually jaunt around a little bit to multiple cities. So part of this narrative today may just be catching up with you, trying to get our feet back on solid ground before we begin our next journey to the Philippines in about a week. So this may be quasi-travelogue, quasi-information as we try to catch up where we left off. Hopefully you enjoyed all the casualty of culture by the number of listens and all that. Looks like a large number of people did listen to it, and the number of people who listen on a weekly basis seems to grow. But our desire for it was always organic, and that we wouldn't put any pressure on ourselves, that we would just try to give information where information was possible. A quick travelogue, I got to India around the 7th of September, made a quick visit to my father-in-law, who is now 90 plus, and to see the smile on his face, the joy in his heart, the assurance he has of the eternity that awaits him. Is refreshing. In this day and age when people are always desperate and despondent, to see that cheer on a man's face who swung his legs off the bed as best as he could, as frail as he is, just to give me a hug and to have that warm smile on his face to welcome his son-in-law. Then we had some high-profile engagements hosted by a hotel and a shopping mall that saw us share some of the cultural anthropology things that we bring to you on a regular basis in a nation that has a historically different worldview as its foundation, but tends to like the concept of philosophy and the broad-mindedness that comes with introducing logic, etc. After that, I went to Ahmedabad. Ahmedabad is the seat that was where Mahatma Gandhi's Sabarmati Ashram is on the banks of the Sabarmati River. And Ahmedabad is the seat, or at least the institution that gave us some of the great thinkers. The Ahmedabad Management Association, founded by that legendary scientist Vikram Sarabhai. And of course, IIM Ahmedabad, which produced some of the great leaders that not only led Indian industry, but global industry as well. So to have been invited to Ahmedabad Management Association to do a lecture on mentoring, values, and influence was indeed an honor. I am one of those people that has now spoken in some of the more successful academia locales that would have never had me as a student. But the room was full. It was packed. The Q&A session lasted a long time. And as a result, we picked up some people for a public seminar I did the next day. Now, this is all new to you, probably. It's something I've been doing for 30 years, but the narrative has changed. I've been a little more forceful on the moral issue. As a Christian apologist, I tend to err on the side of moral apologetics, and I'm trying to bring morality and ethos back into the civil dialogue, asking people why we are where we are, how have we devolved so far away from just basic common sense. After we finished in Ahmedabad with some lengthy delays by way of airlines and all that, I actually preached in a church in Ahmedabad, which was one of the highlights of my life. My itinerant life has taken me to 75 countries on 6 continents. But to walk up the rusty stairwell to a makeshift banner that showed a church, and then walk into a service that was already going on with 2 seats on either side and an aisle down the middle, it was almost as if the worship was in a very long fuselage of a plane. So the room may have been 15, 18 feet wide and about a good 80, 100 feet deep, but this is where they worship. This is how they do it. Wherever they find a space that they can call their own, that they can put lights and put some visuals and then allow themselves a place to sing and dance and speak, becomes church. And it's so very different from the Western concept of what a sanctuary needs to look like, what the parking lot ministry needs to look like, what the connection center ministry needs to look like. And, you know, it's quite fascinating. Everybody pitches in. I don't think there's anybody who signs up for donut ministry there. Then food is provided in a lot of churches at the end, so that congregation concept kind of goes on. The food is very simple. They probably have one dish of rice that has some meat in it, and maybe some other vegetarian dish is provided, and it's just the camaraderie that comes. So after we finished that, we got to the town of Hyderabad late at night on the 10th or the 11th, somewhere around there. Now, Hyderabad is where I went to school, where I did my first job before I moved to the United States. Here we had a series of meetings that ranged from both the secular and the sacred. We created an intersection of science and faith. I got to meet people who were at the very high levels of scientific achievement, a robotic oncologist, all the way down to holding the hand of pastors who are now trying to pick up the pieces of the remnants of what COVID did for the 2 years as it devastated some of these impoverished places, took away their livelihood, decimated their families, disintegrated relationships, and demolished hope. So just sitting at a breakfast area, holding the hands of someone and trying to console them as they spoke to me through their tears, wanting to know if I would come back next year to be a speaker at one of their events, and then looking at my own calendar and realizing that almost all of them want me around the same time. So you pray and you're grateful to God for the privilege. So that was the travelogue, but during the course of this, I managed to do something with the youth of India. And to that, I want to bring in the concept of this mentoring, values, and influence. There were three moods I posited for those people that we have shared with you in years past. But I anchored it around three questions and three opinions, so to speak. The three questions come from Bob Townsend. Bob Townsend, who turned Avis around and wrote about those famed moves in a book called Up the Down Organization, always asked three questions when he met a young group of people or when he met somebody who he was just getting ready to encourage at a department level or at an organization level. The three questions were very simply, what do you do? This is role identity. And the same three questions I'm asking you, what do you do? What would you like to do? This is role destiny. How will you know when you get there? This is role benchmark. Many of us don't know what we do. Many of us have an aspiration for what we'd like to do, but if wishes were horses. But we have no benchmark to demarcate how we will know when we get to where we want to get. So those three questions I kept asking the youth because the numbers are quite frightening, if not staggering. They say by the year 2034, India and China will account for two-fifths of the world's population already, but they will account for half of the world's youth by then. Now, world's youth means under the age of 30. India's percentile of that 75% will either be unemployed or underemployed. So those are very harsh numbers to present to a group of people. Now, 2030 and 2034 may have seemed monumental light years away when this data was presented in the early 2000s. But in the year 2022, we're a good decade away from that stark reality. So I said, if you want to have the future skill attitude, if you want to have something, you need to ask yourself these three questions. What do you do? What would you like to do? How will you know when you get there? And that training gap, that learning gap, is where you invest. Many years ago, I remember doing some training for the Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport when I'd been representing the Zig Ziglar Corporation. And in those days, the parking lot operations were bringing in large amounts of revenue, but the transaction was either cash or if you had to mail a check because you didn't have cash with you, you held up the line. But this was before the automated speed pass and all of that other stuff. So these attendants who were manning these booths were actually migrants, many of them, who had come from other countries, who had fled persecution. And I remember one encounter where one man looked at me and he says, I make $12 an hour and I used to be a pharmacist in my country. And this $12 an hour is just not cutting it. The super makes $14 an hour and I think I can make a living at $14 an hour. Well, I just looked at him and I said, well, what you need to do is get $2 an hour in new skills. I said, nobody is going to give you an opportunity just because you want it. But even if you're overqualified for it, many people won't give it to you, but you have to have it. I've never met an overqualified person. I met a lot of underpaid people. But when I gave him that reality that if you want to go from $12 an hour to $14 an hour, you have to get $2 an hour in new skills. It's called the future skill attitude. So what do you do? What would you like to do? How will you know when you get there? On the heels of this, I gave them Oz Guinness's three questions, which are more of a philosophical motif when he says, what have you ever received that you didn't deserve? In your life, if you go back and check the arsenal of your own accomplishment, the gratitude list of your own inventory, what have you received that you didn't deserve? Question two, what did you do with it? Now you're the recipient of something you didn't deserve. You took it. What did you do with it? And how will you use that feeling, that attitude, how will you use that opportunity, that experience going forward if you answered the first two questions accurately? So the first two questions are, what did you receive that you didn't deserve? What did you do with it? How will you react and how will you respond going forward if you answered the first two questions accurately? Once I presented this to the youth, the dialogue began. Many of them were desperate. Many of them were frustrated. They were frustrated because excellence is demanded from them in terms of a percentile on a paper. As much struggle as they do from the sixth and seventh grade onwards in many of the communities that I work with, and they achieve those marks, and they achieve those steps as they cement those pillars, so to speak. Suddenly they look at a world and they realize that they are academically brilliant, but they are practically not navigable. And so I introduced this concept to them of a finishing school idea. I said, if you want to get ahead with that which you know, embrace this concept that life is going to always require you to go through a finishing school so you can be ready for the next stage. When I finished my MBA and I was thrown into my job, I was theoretically quite brilliant. I graduated second in my class, which means I was able to put thought to paper in order to get a grade. But that didn't allow me to make a sale. It could not allow me to convince anybody to buy my merchandise and sign an order so that I could get a commission and have some records set. It wasn't until I met Mr. Ziegler years later that I understood that the finishing school that I needed was to start making an appointment with myself every day. So maybe today at the end of this, just gave you a little history of the travelogue just to catch up. This is just a smart thing. But I always like to anchor a few moods in there. And the three things I want you to think about as you go about this week is asking yourself, A, those questions. B, evaluating for yourself whether you are actually participating in a finishing school, whether theory that revolves around in your head actually meets muster with the practicality required for on-the-job or on-the-ground solutions. But the third and most important thing I want you to ask yourself is, where is your hope coming from? So in mentoring, values, and influence, the three things that we gave them were introduce people to people they could not meet on their own, teach them things they could not learn on their own, and take them to places they would not go on their own. Introduce them to people they could not meet on their own, teach them things they could not learn on their own, and take them to places they couldn't go on their own. John Maxwell says there are only three reasons a person would want to change. One is they're hurting enough that they have to. Second, they have learned enough that they're able to. Or third, that they have amassed enough that they're privileged to. So ask yourself where you are in this journey of revelation. What do you have in your arsenal that you can give away? What have you received in your arsenal that you didn't deserve? What are you going to do with the motifs and the mindsets that you have created for yourself? So I'm just going to wind this up here. It was just a quick run through, a quick hit list, so to speak. And if you are interested, I actually recently recorded a podcast that is the byproduct of a radio show I did for a friend of mine, Todd Huff. Conservative Not Bitter is the name of his radio show that originates from Indianapolis, Indiana. And every so often I fill in for him. But I did two shows for him, and so there's a good about 40 minutes of information in both those shows talking about this culture collapse in a different way. If you're interested in that, just please send us an email at info@skylifesuccess.com, info@skylifesuccess.com, and we'll send you that link. On the sidebar, if you want the Mentoring Values and Influence PDF, same email, info@skylifesuccess.com, and we'll get that to you. Until next time, good luck, God bless, see you down the road.
And that concludes another episode of The Pursuit of Purpose with Krish Dunham, brought to you by Skylife Success. Please subscribe, rate, and visit us on the web at krishdunham.com and skylifesuccess.com, where you can find our social media links and access to additional resources. Till next time, happy learning and happy living.